This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
The destination for Boston sports fans.
Sports Radio 93.7. WEEI FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show, coming to you live from Encore Boston Harbor in the brand new WynnBET Sports Bar, brought to you by FindMassMoney.com.
Red Sox front office report is brought to you this week by Unified Office, where they help restaurants maximize revenue and avoid placing customers on hold. See unifiedoffice.com for more. And joining us right now on the Harbor One hotline, it is Sam Kennedy of the Boston Red Sox. Hey, Sam, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's everybody?
We're doing great. We're here at the brand new WynnBET Sports Bar at the Encore Boston Harbor.
Good spot. I guess I didn't get the invite.
Well, you're like Courtney. She didn't get invited to any parties last night, and she's been complaining about it all morning. But you're set. Next time we'll have you. We should have had Sam come down here in person.
Yeah.
Right. I blame Zarbano.
Listen, we can't yet bet on the Red Sox here officially in Massachusetts, but someday soon, I hope. Sam.
Yeah, it sounds like the legislature's working on it. I would assume it would get done finally after all these years.
Certainly nice to see these guys put together a couple wins here, and we've been talking a lot about, and Lou's been talking a lot about winning series, and is that kind of the mentality that you guys have? Is you know with however many are left here, 14 or whatever it is, you got to win these series.
Yeah, that's exactly the mentality. It's been a real grind, as everybody knows, going all the way back to July. So it's been quite a stretch. Really resilient group, and now here we are with, as you said, 14 games to go. We had a chance to get into the postseason, which was the goal at the beginning of the year. We're right there, we want to try and win series. We want to do a little bit more than that. Now we got 14 games left. We're home for more than half of those games starting Friday night, so we're hoping that it's loud and energetic, and we can get on a little bit of a streak now that we'll be getting guys back, and we've grinded through in a great way the last couple of weeks.
Sam, you talk about getting guys back. Chris Sale expected to make his return. Do you think that this team could be hitting their peak at a right time heading into the last stretch of the season?
Yeah, we certainly hope so. We prefer to hit a peak in October, but you got to get there first, right? So, we're hoping to get guys back. You mentioned Chris Sale. Just having him out there on the mound will certainly help. I know I've been in touch with him. He feels great. He feels ready to go. So hopefully we'll see him here this weekend. We've got a lot of TBDs on the schedule in terms of our rotation. So they'll be shuffling through all that today. But hopefully we'll see Chris and get everybody back and back healthy and make a run for it here.
Speaking of TBDs and COVID, Ken was discussing this earlier. Ken, you want to go? You can go ahead and ask your question. Well,
curious. Why did baseball pause for the Yankees during their COVID outbreak, but not for you guys when you had when you guys were in the throes of it there?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it largely had to do with the cluster of cases that existed in those different markets. I think last year they had, we had as an industry, like 45, 50 games that were canceled over 2020. We learned a lot from that, which was important. We've had 9 or 10 canceled total as an industry. Obviously, our games weren't postponed. And I think it had to do with the number of cases that popped on a certain day. I remember coming out of the All-Star break when we had that Red Sox-Yankee game postponed. I believe it was due to, you know, the number of positive tests on that one day. It was like July 15th or something. Coming out of the All-Star break, there was grave concern that there may have been a pretty significant spread associated with the All-Star game activities. So I believe it was how many total cases. Our situation was completely different, where we had this rolling sort of drumbeat, you know, starting with Kike, as he calls himself, patient zero, out in Cleveland. And then it
t-shirt.
Just sort of rolled.
We need a t-shirt.
Yeah. He was out in Cleveland quarantined there for a while. And, it just was this sort of drumbeat day after day after day. So I believe that's the reason. And I want to be clear, MLB did make it clear to all the clubs that, you know, in order to get all the games in, we've got to play. That's why they set up these protocols with the taxi squad, giving us the ability to have guys come in and out. So it's a tough situation for everybody, for the clubs, for the players, for the league. And we've all worked through it together, and certainly not a perfect outcome for anybody. But look, we're dealing with a pandemic.
Not being on the inside, although you know I'm a huge Red Sox fan.
I see you night in and night out at the ballpark.
Yes.
You guys did wave at each other for a decent amount of time when we were there the other night.
We waved at each other in a friendly manner the other evening.
Yes.
He sits there in those TV seats, so he wants airtime. I get it.
but not being on the inside, There could be some confusion with regard to the comments that Hunter Renfroe made on this radio station about testing. And I was hoping that you might be able to clear that up, because he essentially doubled down on his comments and said he wasn't taking anything back that he said here. So where, if anywhere, is the confusion, Sam?
Yeah, it's a good question. The confusion, I think, is probably related to the testing of vaccinated players, and the protocols are clear around testing vaccinated people when they have symptoms and testing unvaccinated close contacts. So I think it was related to that. I'm not sure, and I'm not going to get into the details because I don't know exactly what was said to who or when. Lots of conversations go on. But look, we've done an amazing job as an organization grinding through a really difficult situation. Credit to guys like Hunter. I mean, the guy, first of all, he's probably been the single best acquisition of our offseason. May have saved our season literally on September 8th with that unbelievable home run and the throw he made. Best throw I think I've seen at Fenway in person in my lifetime. So Hunter's just been incredible. And look, we're grinding through it. We're following, I could tell you this too, we're following the protocols to a T. MLB has been in touch with us. We've been in touch with them. They've been great. They're working through it. We're trying our best to navigate a really tricky situation. And here we are with 2 weeks left to go, and we're right in this thing.
When it comes to first base, do you you look back on the trade deadline? Do you wish that your chief baseball officer had done something different there at that position?
No, I don't. I'm really pleased with everything we did. We made decisions that we thought were in the best interest, short term and long term. And adding someone like Kyle Schwarber to this club, it's provided us a huge lift. You've seen what he's done, and so really, really pleased with the direction of our baseball operation. And I know there's a lot of focus and attention on what exactly happened in the wake of the deadline, you know, 2, 3, 4 days after But at the end of the day, I think we'll look back and really be able to judge trade deadline moves along with off-season acquisitions, you know, when the season's over. It's best to enjoy baseball in the moment as it's happening, but you look back and do the analysis when the sort of the whole book is written here.
Sam, now I know as a former player, they always tell us you don't want to look past the schedule, you don't want to focus on the moment in time, but it's just human nature especially when you're in a playoff hunt at the end of the season. You got five games between Baltimore and two against the Mets, and then it's the Yankees series, which in my opinion, I think that's going to be a huge part of deciding making the postseason, because if you can really bury them, that puts yourselves in a great position. I know you guys are probably not looking past that, but are you thinking about that a little bit, knowing that you get to play them and that can kind of control your own destiny and where you are in this kind of wild card hunt?
Yeah, absolutely. We are certainly mindful that we control our destiny here with these 14 games, and especially when you have American League East opponents that you're battling for that wild card spot, and the Red Sox Yankees rivalry has certainly come back, and it'll be great to see a packed Fenway Park for those games. Really exciting, and we have a chance, as you say, to get beyond them and bury them. I'm not going to make any comments about the New York Yankees beyond that, because Greg will remind me that I've done that in the past and it hasn't worked out so well for me. So we'll skip past that one. But
you want to rip the Blue Jays, Sam?
Yeah.
Any interest in ripping the Blue Jays right now?
Yeah. Why don't you say something about Toronto?
So Toronto. Well, the only thing to say about them is they're terrifying. That lineup is unbelievable. No, but look, the problem that we have is, and we put ourselves in this situation, if we're fortunate enough to get in, you know, you're looking at a one-game playoff. We've avoided that in our time here in our 20 years. You got to win your division to avoid playing in that game. So now we set up here to try and make the best of that, and the best possible outcome for us would be home field advantage and playing at Fenway Park with the best fans in baseball. So to Wiggy's point, that's really what we're focused on now, is putting ourselves in a position to give ourselves the best chance to be successful. We got to get in first. That's the first order of business. But if we could somehow secure home field advantage in that one game playoff, I think that can make all the difference in the world.
Well, you just said you didn't want to speak on the Yankees, so you might shut down this question right away. But there was a loud whistle heard at a game the other day that we've been talking about all week, right before Aaron Judge hit an absolute bomb. I was just wondering if you had heard that, or if you had seen any rumblings or any talk on the inside that there could be some cheating allegations flying around.
Yeah, I think you answered the question before you asked it. I'm not going to touch that one, but certainly aware of the conversation around the issue. But I don't know anything about it, and I will take a pass on that one for sure.
All right, what about this one? I don't believe a grounds crew at Fenway has ever been ejected from a game. Does your grounds crew need to get tougher over there and more involved?
I think everyone in the 6th New England State region will agree we've got the best grounds crew in baseball, given what they do with the weather here combined with what we put them through with extra events. Everyone's really excited by our concert series. You know, we put our grounds crew to the test each and every year, so they're not getting ejected, I can assure you of that.
Are you okay with an umpire ejecting an entire grounds crew?
Yeah, the umpires have a tough job. They got to do what they got to do. So, but I'm confident in Dave Miller and our guys.
All right, Sam. Great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again, hopefully, before we get to the end of the season. So, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Sam Kennedy, president of the Boston Red Sox front office report. We are at the WynnBET Sports Bar at the Encore Boston Harbor, and we will be joined in a little bit by the next mayor of the city of Boston, my mayor, Anissa Asabi George, who will be here with us this morning. So we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
The Real Post Game Show, this Sunday after the game.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Visit the 99 restaurants the day after a Red Sox win. You get 99 rewards members free kids meals with every adult entree purchase. Nice win for the Sox yesterday. 3-3 road swing. This helped in the 10th. Kyle Schwarber delivering with a single right.
Field ready. The pitch. Swing and a hard shot. Right side. Oh, base hit. It goes through into right field. At least two runs will score. Throw to the plate far too late as both Bogarts and Devers cross the plate, and the Red Sox have a four-run lead.
Four-run lead. They hung on for the 9-4 win at T-Mobile Park, and that six-run 10th inning got the job done. And the bullpen. Bullpen came through, held the Mariners to just a run over the final seven innings, Greg. So,
what happened to Safeco?
Yeah, what happened to Safeco? I don't know. They changed the name. But I'll tell you, it was beautiful on that big screen at the Wynn last night. Yeah, you should have been there, Courtney. Looked awesome. Unbelievable.
Next time.
Ken, the next five games, what do you expect them to do between Baltimore and the Mets before that Yankee series? 3-2, 4-1?
Oh, no, you got to go 4-1. You got to sweep the Orioles.
Okay.
Ken, we have the updated odds from the ESPN playoff odds, the percentage chance of making the playoffs. The Red Sox have a 71.7% chance ahead of the Yankees, who currently sit at 61.6%, and the Blue Jays, who are at 63.7%.
But they're ahead of the Blue Jays odds-wise?
According to ESPN.com.
Wow. That's crazy, because the Blue Jays, I would think that they would have been in first because they play both the Red Sox and the Yankees, so they can really put themselves in a great position.
Well, I don't trust your odds after you declared roulette a small house advantage earlier in the show. It's just stupid.
No, it's
a 5% house edge.
Your best chances of winning money in a casino is at the roulette table.
It is not, Wiggy.
It is.
You bet on black or red. There are 18 blacks or reds, and there are two green dots. So
there's got to be a jammer here somewhere.
Ken is an engineer. He has an engineering degree.
So you're saying it's craps.
He's right here.
It's 5% house edge. It's very easy to calculate.
So what's the craps?
Craps, if you play it well, it's close to 50-50. Craps and blackjack. It depends how you play, but if you play it well, it's like a 0.5, half a percent.
There's got to be a jammer in here we can grab.
It was odd, Wiggy, that Ken went right to landing on black when you brought this up.
Yeah. I'll always bet on black. Got to find a jammer.
Red Sox off today. They'll get Baltimore tomorrow. Week two in the NFL launches tonight. Washington hosting the New York Football Giants. Saquon Barkley expected to play, but maybe not that much. We join Westwood One's coverage at 7:30 after Monday night. Tom E. Curran on that show as well. Trent Brown and Kyle Van Noy missing Wednesday practice for the Pats. And we'll have Devin McCourty tomorrow, Greg, and Michael Irvin and Ian Rappaport on Gresh and Keefe today. That's what's trending now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Heads up! Heads up! Here's another one. And another one. Why you all in my ear talking a whole bunch of shit that I ain't trying to hear? Get back! You don't know me like that. Get back! You don't know me like that. Geek! I ain't playing around. Make one false move, I take you down.
Well, it is my pleasure to welcome one of the two women who will be the first woman ever elected as the mayor of the city of Boston here at the Encore Boston Harbor, Anissa Asabi George. How are you? And congratulations.
Thank you very much, and I'm grateful to be here with you.
I was mocked and ridiculed for coming out to your event the other night to get a free chicken parm.
Were we giving out free chicken parm?
No, there was no free chicken parm. I mean, I had to pay for it.
Because I didn't get it either.
You didn't get your voice. This is what happens when you're running, right? It's like you start to lose your voice because you're talking all the time.
All of the time.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
And people also ask me to constantly constantly repeat things because they want to hear that Boston accent. They
You do have a great Boston accent.
Can you say that one more time for me?
We had you on the show a while ago, and I think Wiggy takes particular pride because you were a teacher in East Boston for a while. I don't think you want to take credit for – you didn't teach Wiggy, not English, right? You don't want to take credit for his grammar skills?
I also didn't teach English. I didn't teach Wiggy, and I didn't teach English, because imagine all those Boston kids running around the city.
Yeah, it was a little bit before your time at East, you know.
Well, I mean, this will be a historical moment for the city, whether you win or Michelle Wu wins. From the perspective of a woman, what is that like for you? When you look at a month and a half from now, one of you will be the first female mayor of this city.
No, it's pretty extraordinary for sure. And we think about Boston's history and we think about Boston's future to even play this small part in that effort. It's a little overwhelming. It's pretty spectacular. You know, I've talked a lot about my story, being the daughter of immigrants, being a Dorchester girl, being an Arab, being the daughter of a woman who was displaced, and grandparents who displaced from Poland. It's a little overwhelming. It's pretty special. And I'm just grateful to have an opportunity to lead this city. I'm excited to do this work. I've been doing this work as a city councilor. I've done the work as a school teacher in Boston, raising my family in this city, being a part of this city. It's pretty special.
When I am considering throwing my valuable endorsement around, I often like to cut some sort of a deal.
Oh, yeah. What are we doing?
That benefits the radio show. We had a deal with the old guy. Where he would come on, whatever it was, once a month, once every couple of months, and do Ask the Mayor. So should this show be willing to throw our endorsement your way, would you agree? You do it on the phone. You don't have to come in and be around Curtis and Ken. But would you agree to something like that?
Only if we call it Ask the Mayor.
The Mayor.
Oh, yeah,
all right,
that's
Ask
better.
The Mayor.
That's better.
You know, I've got this thing that happened over the course of the campaign that's been a lot of fun, actually. At the end of one of our commercials that we filmed, the ending line was supposed to be, and I'll be the mayor to get it done. And then I'm like, but I'm also a mother. Or I think we started with teacher. So we're like, all right, I'll be the teacher and the mayor to get it done. And then I'm like, but I'm also a mother.
But you're also
so
a mother.
So then it turned into an I'll be the teacher and the mother and the mayor to get it done.
I was literally about to ask you, I was going to say, how old are your kids?
My kids are teenagers. So I have a 16-year-old. He'll be 17 in a few weeks. That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
And I have triplet 15-year-olds.
Wow.
So we've got a
triplets.
Full and busy house. They introduced themselves the other night, which that sort of happened by accident, too, at our little bit of a victory party the other evening. So I had Samir, Caden, Charlie, and then Douglas George introduce themselves. And then my oldest, Douglas, got to say, and I'd like to introduce my mother, the next mayor of Boston. That was pretty cool.
So are they excited by this? Is it annoying to them? I know how teenagers are. So
yeah, it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think they were excited the other night. I knew that there was some excitement when the boys said, can a few of our friends come to the party? I was like, well, it's going to be late. If their moms say it's fine, you're welcome to bring them. So that was kind of cool. But this race, this job, being a city councilor at large, now running for mayor and being in the final two, is a lot of work. It's a lot of pressure. It's not always lovely and smelling, you know, like roses. It can be difficult. And I made that decision. The boys didn't make that decision. So I try to incorporate them where it makes sense. They certainly do parades, and they have to pose for a family picture every now and then. But I really try to keep them out of it, because this isn't their life. It's my life.
I grew up with a dad who was a politician. So as your kids, have you talked to them about, you know, the backlash that you could get? You know, don't read the newspaper. That was I was always told that growing up. Don't read the newspaper, because I think it's hard as a kid to watch your mom, like your role model, go through this and want to stick up for them over and over again.
Yeah, we had an early conversation. And again, I've been in office 6 years. They're teenagers, so they're starting to pay more and more attention. I'm not worried about them reading the papers. Mm-hmm. It's not really their thing.
Yeah.
I'm worried about social media. And,
yeah.
And we've talked about it a little bit. We talked about it in depth at the beginning of the campaign. Certainly now that we're in this second leg, we've got to talk about it a little bit more. I tell them to stay off social media. I tell them not to engage, not to listen. If there's questions, to certainly check in with me and my husband. But it's also about my nieces and my nephews and my sisters and my mother and my, you know, my extended family, who they're my biggest support. They're my cheerleaders. They're, you know, 1,000% in. But some of the nastiness, can impact you. It certainly impacts me. There are moments, and I've got thick skin. I've signed up for this. I always say nothing better prepares you for a campaign than having teenagers or being a teacher. Yeah. I mean, those things.
A teacher. Being a teacher. All right, I want to go rapid fire with a few things because there's only a month and a week?
Six weeks, whatever it is,
till the election. This may shock you, but I'm going to ask about the mask mandate. I know that you and I having conversations about this will surprise you, but do we need a mask mandate in the city of Boston going forward?
I think we do. It is so important that we're stopping the spread of this disease, of COVID, of the breakthrough cases. It's really unfortunate that we're in this place, and I know cities and towns, you know, we don't have one here. We don't have one in some other cities and towns. I know that can be really impactful on businesses, on small businesses.
It's killing a lot of businesses, and an awful lot of businesses feel like they have become the enforcers, which is not what they're there to do.
It
puts them in an awful situation with their customers. So you understand that impact when it comes to businesses.
No, I absolutely do. And I own a small business, and we have a mask mandate in place. I had a conversation with my staff. We've talked to a number of our regular customers that come into the shop and say, how do you feel about this? And my employee said, we feel better if there's a mask, if we're asking customers to wear masks.
So why not leave it up to the individual business? Why does there need to be a mandate from the city?
Well, I think because we've continued to see an unfortunate spread. And, of course, we've got to follow the science. Of course, we've got to be understanding that we can't have these, like, unnecessary pressures on small businesses as we think about, you know, if we have a mask mandate, which we do now in the city of Boston, what does it mean to a business owner who is having a hard time with customers? What does it mean to a small business owner who's now asked to carry this extra burden? And we've got to be really sensitive to that. We also have to realize as a city, our capacity, the number of people that we have to travel the city and check in on businesses, that's also something worth considering, that impact. But I need Bostonians across our city to get that vaccine, to be smart about if you're not feeling well, if you're under the weather, keep your distance, stay home if possible. And, you know, just I want to encourage vaccination across the city. I want to encourage good behavior. I want to encourage responsible behavior for, you know, grown-ass people to do and make the right decisions. And government doesn't need to get involved when people are being responsible, when people are acting in a reasonable way and making thoughtful decisions about themselves and about the people that they're around.
All right, next one from me. When it comes to the dynasty, Brady or Belichick?
Oh, man. You know, I'm a Pats girl. I'm a Patriots fan. I'm sad that we lost Tom. I'm sad that we lost Tom, but go Pats.
Okay. Pats. So Belichick, you're on Team Belichick. You're not like Matt Damon, who is never going to watch a Patriots game again.
I'm going to be mayor, so it's going to be really hard to watch a Patriots game ever again, other than to check the score. And I will tell you, the football games I choose to go to are my own kids. I happen to have a quarterback in my family. He might have been Player of the Week last week. But those are the games I'm most interested in. But I'm a Pats girl. I'm a Red Sox girl. I'm a Celtics girl. Who did I miss? The Bruins.
Bruins.
Revolution.
You missed the Bruins. You got them all in there. Speaking of sports, this is a legislature thing, but I assume you'll weigh in on it. Sports gambling, legalized sports gambling, you're in favor of it?
You know what? I am watching what's happening at the state level on the ride over here. I said, oh, man, we've got to get on board with this sports betting. Yeah. That's for sure.
Well, look at this place. Yeah. I mean, isn't this awesome?
Listen, it's a beautiful place. My first time here, actually.
Your first time here?
You got me here. Because as a candidate for mayor, as a city councilor, I don't have much time left for the casino, although it is a beautiful spot, and I look forward to maybe wandering for a few minutes when I leave. You know, it's something that we have to look at. We have to understand the economic benefit it brings our city, it brings our region, and Boston, as the capital city, is the economic engine, and the decisions we make at the state level as well as at the city level impact the people of Boston. So I want to make sure that we're making a thoughtful decision. There's work happening right now at the state level to get it done.
I think so far so good. I don't agree with you on the mask mandate thing because
same.
What's next?
We can work on that.
Vaccination mandates?
Yeah, I mean, they come in all sizes, Wiggy.
Yeah. No,
I like the pink one.
I'm vaccinated. Nice. I'm vaccinated, so it's, you know, if I want to go out without having to wear a mask, I should be able to.
But there's one issue that's really important.
My biggest issue for me, and I've always been, I've traveled the country and played in many a cities, and I think, you know, I love Boston. I was born, bred here. I got it tattooed on me. Everywhere I go, I represent it. And one thing that I have always missed, and people always talk about, we don't like Boston, is it closes too early, like bars, clubs, you know, those type of things, restaurants. You know, we got a lot of young people here. We got a lot of middle-aged people, older people that want to come out and enjoy themselves. But last call's at 12:30. In some places, it's at 1 o'clock. And I think that hurts our city when you compare us to places like New York, Chicago, where they stay open and that brings in more revenue. How do you feel about extending the, you know,
closing time?
Well, first, I'm going to get you a list of 2 o'clock licenses because 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
If you're ready to go.
That's true.
So, you know, I think we talked about this the last time I was on. We have to be open to that, absolutely. We need to be a city that attracts both young people as well as tourism. You know, tourism is our third industry here in the city of Boston, so we got to make sure that there are opportunities for people to come, to be excited about coming to the city and to spend their money here in the city because those dollars are so important. But we're also a small city, so we have to think about the impact of those later licenses, which I'm absolutely open to, that impact on neighborhoods. And when
but
we
you're
have,
open to oh, later open licenses, to, places yeah. staying open till yeah. like New York till 4 or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely
whatever it
open
is,
to that.
As long as there's you figure out where it is. And if it's in the city, in the financial district or wherever it is, it's not going to affect people with noise and stuff like that.
We just need to make sure the neighborhood, the residents of that particular area aren't disproportionately impacted by that late license. We also need to make sure that we've got public transportation that can get people safely to and from, both if they're patrons or employees. When we think about the workforce, we think about that opportunity. It also creates more opportunity in the workforce, and that's a big deal. Jobs are a big deal for me and for a city that wants to continue to grow.
What about happy hour?
Happy hour?
Yeah,
that's
legislative thing. I've talked to a lot of bar and restaurant owners around the happy hour thing, and the response I've gotten from many of them is that's a race to the bottom. We do as a city have to think really creatively about how we create excitement around nightlife in the city, around you know, building some interest in our establishments across our city, sure.
Don't you think like Hanover Street and what that became during the pandemic and now is the kind of thing that we need in this city where you have these amazing outdoor dining opportunities and places that people can go?
Outdoor dining has been an amazing value add across our city. Now, we've done it 2 years in a row. The first year we sort of threw it together quickly. It was in a response to a real crisis that our business owners were feeling, our restaurant owners in particular were feeling. We've done better this last year. With a few exceptions, there are some places where we need to take some corrective action. Mm-hmm. Maybe we've gone a step too far in a few communities, a few neighborhoods in our city. So certainly through this period of transition, I really very much see, starting yesterday, September 15th, through the general election and then on to swearing-in day, because it's an interim administration, there's no January fancy gala and inauguration. As soon as those votes are certified, which could be the end of that week, so November 5th, maybe the beginning of the week after, I, as mayor, will be sworn in as mayor. So our transition planning actually started yesterday. We've got a small group of folks that are committed to my work, committed to my candidacy, committed to city government, municipal government, who have started that transition planning today. I get elected November 2nd. You're going to call me November 3rd and say, how about, what are we doing here? What's happening there? And I've got to be prepared to answer those questions. I can't say, come see me in January. So we've started to look at outdoor dining, especially for the next season, because it'll be here before you know it. I'm a more of a summer girl than a winter girl, so I look forward to thinking about summer and summer.
What about a fall girl?
Courtney's a fall girl.
I'm a fall girl.
I do appreciate the changes in season, but I like the sunshine.
Right.
I
like Wiggy.
No. Fall tells you winter's right around the corner.
This is an important one for me. The previous guy was psychologically obsessed with bike lanes. Oh. Do we have enough bike lanes in our city at this point?
I don't know whether we have enough bike lanes. A few of the bike lanes, I think, are in the wrong spot.
Oh, okay.
We do have to take a real close look at.
Do you think that's causing additional traffic issues in our city, that we don't have enough room for cars?
It depends on where in the city you are. A few of them, we've got to be really thoughtful about the flow of traffic. We've got to be really thoughtful about how
it's a disaster, first responder, it's already back to being
vehicles,
a disaster.
Our fire trucks, our police cars, our ambulances, how they're able to navigate the city, because a few spots have created some real issues, some significant issues. So we've got to take a look at that. I know there's a couple of spots across the city that there are some unintended consequences to added bike lanes. I want bicyclists to be able to travel throughout our city safely, but I want to make sure that traffic continues to flow as well, that our public transportation, our buses can get through. Some of those bike lanes have created some challenges for public transportation. Some of those bike lanes have created some challenges for our tour bus operators when we think about the ducks and the trolleys. We've got to look at that. But the priority has to be safety. Public safety when we think about ambulances and fire trucks and police cars navigating our city's roads, and then regular traffic. If I could solve traffic tomorrow, there'd be a special law put in place.
Well, it's right back. I was driving yesterday from Somerville to the Seaport, 2 o'clock, and 93 is at a standstill. I mean, we're right back to where we were prior to the pandemic.
I don't think there are bike lanes on 93.
There aren't any. No, but people have. They do try to drive them. There have been people who've ridden their bikes through the tunnel.
That's a problem that's existed for a long time. Yeah. It also, there was a problem with horses once on the expressway. Still the signs reminding people to not bring their horses on the expressway.
That's not something one should do. Yes.
How do you feel then if you're like, you know, you want to look at the bike lanes, and what about making people have to register bikes like they do vehicles?
Insurance,
excise taxes for bikes. Like, you know, when I get a bill every year for the vehicles that I have, which I still don't understand where the excise taxes go to. The roads in Chelsea.
Goes to the bike lanes. That's
the roads in Chelsea are still horrible. What about it for people that want to own bikes? You got to treat them like they're motorcycles.
Well, I'd also like to see some of these mopeds and off-road vehicles that are traveling our city streets.
You've
got to
figure
that out, too. You've got to figure out. There's a real issue with the dirt bikes, and it's not the kids that are on dirt bikes that are a problem.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm the only female, obviously, on this show, so I think it was so cool
to
see.
Often.
Yes, yes. But it was so cool to see so many females in the running, and now you and Michelle going for this historic moment. For you, looking at all the girls in Boston, looking at that and looking at the peers that you're going against, that must be hard to balance, because you are going against each other, but at the same time, you're all kind of looking at each other like, this is a cool moment. And it was such a weird last 48 hours. On this show, we couldn't figure out where people were. So
you should have just called me. I would have told you.
Yes, we should have just called her.
We had the numbers.
Well, I kept saying it. Everybody's all over me. I'm like, she's in.
But with social media, it was all over the place. Right. So how did you guys collectively kind of deal with that?
The numbers piece?
The numbers just being together.
Yeah, so the being together has been, obviously, we were all during the previous leg of this campaign all working towards the same end goal. We all want to be mayor of this city. And, you know, we have worked together for a long time. We've built relationship with each other for a long time, both professional and personal relationships with each other. And I think that we were able to demonstrate, for the most part, that we can handle ourselves in a mature way, that we can draw distinction without being nasty. And again, as you get closer to an election day, the elbows get a little bit sharper. But we really have practiced that, and I think Michelle and I will continue to practice that. We've been able to so far. And again, drawing distinctions. And I think it's interesting, some of the terminology that's used and that will likely be used, because we are women both vying for the top job here. And it'll be interesting to see. I want to just mention this idea that we are role models for young women, especially here in the city, and I appreciate that. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to be a role model, and look forward to continuing to inspire lots of young women across our city especially. But I think women also play an important role to be role models to young men. I've got four teenagers, and when they see their mother running for mayor and being successful at that, I hope that inspires them. I hope they say, my mother did that, I could too. Or how it may help them have healthier and more well-balanced relationships as they grow up. But I'd say, I'm running for mayor, but for me, I know our kids all play hockey. I'm looking at Wiggy. when my kids have played hockey with girls, that, you know, to me, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So girls need to find themselves. Women need to find themselves in those unusual spaces. And the more they find them in those unusual spaces, it's no longer a big deal. And this is a historical moment, and it's a special moment, and, you know, all of that fluffy feel-good stuff. But it's also about the work of leading this city. It's about filling the potholes.
Right.
It's about building playgrounds. It's about our schools. It's about our transit system. It's about public health and
police,
public safety.
Fire,
it's about all of it.
All
it's
of
about
that
all
stuff.
Of it. So we enjoy this moment, and you should only enjoy it for a brief moment.
Right.
And that's what celebrations are for. And then there is hard work. It is not easy to lead a city. It is not easy to make the decisions that we need to around public safety, around public health, around mask mandates. It's all hard work.
Right.
So we've got to get through the celebration and back to the work.
Well,
I was just going to say, because I wanted to just jump on the one thing when you talked about women being strong leaders to young men. I think it's something that gets overlooked because, like myself, there are a lot of kids that grew up in single-parent households that were raised by their mother, and you see a lot of the numbers, especially kids that come from, you know, lower-income areas, that they're being raised by, you know, young boys are being raised by women. And so I think it's very critical that you do have these positive, you know, women role models out there that are raising these young men. And I know it's difficult for a, you know, woman to kind of raise a man to a certain extent, but
they do it all the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I applaud you for that because my mother did it, you know, my whole life. So I applaud you for thinking about that and not just saying it's only about, you know, the young girls.
Well, I'm really glad you came by this morning. Before you go, if you could only go to one concert, one artist,
ooh,
I need to know who that would be.
There's always a correct answer, uh-huh. And her name is J-Lo.
Oh!
I was really.
All right.
Come on.
All right. Ben Affleck would love that one.
It's great to see you. We'll talk to you throughout the campaign, and
I look forward
good luck
to it.
With everything. And we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
WEEI.
Here's what you missed on Merlone and Fourier.
If I was to watch this game and it was another team that I was kind of passionate about, I would say this is a very talented team that is poorly coached. You know why?
Ooh.
Okay, Vince, listen, let the facts tell the story.
I like it where you're going.
Stupid penalties, ooh, situational football, dumb mistakes, you name it, it existed.
Merlone and Fourier.
Afternoons 2 to 6
on Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
I just realized that when it comes to an election, Ken and I now have a candidate that we could both vote for.
All right. Wow.
What do you think, Ken?
Yeah, but I don't think she's your ideal candidate, Greg. God, the mask answer—you almost left the building.
I'll change her mind on that. I think I can work on that one.
Does she know you are not vaccinated?
I. How do you know? You don't know what my status is.
Well, I just got a note from her staff.
But she, amazing woman.
Amazing,
and,
yeah.
I love the accent.
We certainly will. We continue to invite. The other candidate, we have invited the other candidate to be on the show. We offer that opportunity at any point to Michelle Wu. We'd love to have Michelle Wu on the show.
Absolutely.
As well. All right. Well, an amazing, amazing place where we have been all morning, the WynnBET Sports Bar. If you're looking for someplace great to go and watch sports and have some great food this weekend or whenever, I would head to right here to the casino, to the Encore Boston Harbor, and check it out. Soon enough, I guess, we'll be able to gamble on games here. So Wiggy, Ken's worried about it because of the kids, but the rest of us are looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. I just pitched this idea to Joe Zarbano, who in all seriousness, great to see, good friend, great guy at the station for a long time. I said, put the picture of all the legislators that are voting against legalizing sports betting in Massachusetts on the windows of where you would bet.
Oh.
And have their number for people to contact and say,
them.
Hey,
yeah.
I'd like to
brilliant.
Bet.
Yes.
Kind of brilliant.
Kind of brilliant.
I mean, idea guy.
Right. Why is it you don't want betting?
Right.
All right. Well, we will be back tomorrow morning at 6. It's the Patriots Friday, and Devin McCourty will be on our show tomorrow morning at 6. The crossover this morning would have been brought to you by National Lumber. Wait till you see them. But we got to get out of here so that Gresham Keefe
Gresham
can start on time. I don't think think he really gets upset.
Well,
I think he just.
He's always very really, happy really, when he comes in.
I don't think he really.
He's very happy. Yeah.
Those footballs aren't going to talk about themselves. Right. I mean.
All right.
Lock on. Boom.
From Win, special thanks to, I want to thank Nick Verano and his team at Frank and Nick's.
Yes.
Can we have a round of applause for the food this morning?
Yes.
I mean, come on. You people born in a barn? I mean, the guy gave you free meatball subs all morning. All right.
Steak and cheese, too.
And you know, thanks to the crew here at Encore. That includes
so nice.
Joe and everybody else, Shake Shack team, all that stuff. So from the WynnBET Sports Bar, we'll end this. And Gresh and Keefe is next. Thank you very much for listening.
Up next, it's Gresh and Keefe, EEI. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.